Let me begin by thanking Stephen and Heather for their very warm welcome with a cup of tea this morning and to share in this pulpit and to share fellowship with you. I thank you very, very much for this privilege and for this opportunity. Gloria and I met yesterday. She was coming from Nigeria and I was coming from the States. And we had planned to meet here and spend the week at New Horizon and then we go back home together. I must not forget to thank you because just this morning, someone came up to greet Gloria and said that she read Gloria's book. And I don't like that book being read because it tells more about my shortcomings. But also it tells another side, and that is that we know that people are praying for us. And I know that you have prayed for us and are praying for us. Because Jos is a very exciting place to be. And we live each day in Jos by the grace of God. But that's the way to live too, and we enjoy it. But we only enjoy it because we know that we are living and existing on the wings of prayers of many saints. We will never know until we meet in heaven. So we thank you. But also we thank you for the good weather. We brought it. And we'll take it away with us over the weekend. But believe it or not, Jos is it's a wonderful place to be. I believe it's the best spot on earth because it's about 5,000 feet above sea level. And it's a temperate climate all year round. And it's a beautiful place. Honestly, anything grows in Jos. In fact, from 1920s, they brought Irish potatoes in Jos. And it has survived. It grows. We grow Irish potatoes 3 times a year in Jos. And we export it to the whole of Nigeria, indeed to North Africa. We're known for what is called Jos potatoes, no longer Irish. And if Irish potatoes can grow in Jos, if you plant an Irish man or woman in Jos, they will grow. This morning I want to share with you what has been uppermost in my heart. Since the beginning of the year, the word that was read beautifully to us has been ministering to my heart, and I thought that I would share it with you as well. But before we do that, may we bow our heads to pray. Father, this Sunday morning, we know how difficult it is for people in Nepal to worship. People in Iran, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Sudan and northern Nigeria. We know how it is difficult for Christians to stand up in parts of China, but we have it so freely. Dear God, open our hearts to your truth, that maximizing the opportunities of our freedom, we may be grounded in Christ, that we may be rooted in this faith and grow up unto maturity in Jesus. Lord, may your word be true this morning to each one of our hearts, that we may respond to your truth. And in responding, may we find grace upon grace to follow you until the day you call us home. We ask that you answer this prayer and bless us and all other worshipers all over, oh God, all men and women, children, young and old who call upon your name, please hear and answer. And we pray ours in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible reading is Luke chapter 9, and Jesus calls his disciples to carry their cross, each one to carry the cross. And I've been thinking about this way of the cross, particularly because of the cost involved in it. But as Jesus always does, he does not leave his disciples, his followers, in the dark. He introduces the subject just after the transfiguration. So he tells his disciples, verse 23, if any one of you would follow me, would come after me, anybody who would follow me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he's not talking about the cross that I carry like this around my neck, or the earrings or the necklace. And perhaps the disciples at this point were not so clear about what this cross really meant or what it was going to be. But he says it anyway because he's going to leave it out for them to see. And once he lived it out for everyone to see, that became the pattern. That became the way of a Christian. That became the way to be a Christian, and it became the way of a Christian. But Jesus wasn't talking about something that was totally new to him. You would recall that at age 12 or 14 thereabouts, he had to go to the ceremony in Jerusalem with Mary and Joseph, his earthly parents. And for 3 days they had lost him. He was discussing with the elders and with the leaders of the temple, the teachers. And he would have known from study of scriptures that whoever was the Messiah, whoever was the anointed of God, was going to carry the cross, was going to be led like a sheep to the slaughter, was going to carry the burdens of the sins of the whole world, and would be crucified and died. So Jesus must have known this at an early age and kept it to himself. Sometimes I wonder, and I've met with people, doctors have said to them, well, we think the ailment you're carrying, you won't live for another year. And I do not know whether that statement is good or bad, but sometimes telling someone that you're going to die in a year at all, the person begins to die immediately. Other times people brace up and put their house in order. Hezekiah in the Old Testament was told he had not less than 15 years to go. No, he actually had just the time left. And he pleaded for extra time, and 15 years was granted him. Jesus had 22 years to live, knowing that in 22 years' time, he was going to hang on the cross. No wonder Jesus was urgent about his task. He was urgent about calling the disciples, about recruiting people for this huge responsibility of reaching the whole world, that the whole world might know the love of God and hear the gospel message. And there was no time at all. The urgency of the message. But it needed a couple of things. Number one, brace up. Deny yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. And I think that when you deny yourself, you're free. Because then you complain less. Because you make do with what you get. If you don't get it, you're grateful all the same. Sometimes we complain we can't come to church because it is raining. I wish you see others who are worshipping under the trees and the rain is falling. We complain about everything, about the food, about a long sermon like mine is going to be. And I'm very lucky because there's no clock to tell me when to stop. So what you get is what you get today. But we need to deny ourselves our comfort. That's what Jesus said. Whoever tells you following Jesus is a comfortable faith, it didn't tell you the truth. It takes some sacrifice, my friends. Yes, it does. And you've got to count the cost. And you better know it. If it is Jesus you're following, you need to deny yourself. There's some discomfort involved in it, Jesus warns. Then he says, after denying yourself, then get ready to take up your cross. And it is an intentional, willful reception of the cross. Embracing it. Hebrews tells us Jesus, when he saw the cross, he despised the shame. He despised it and embraced it. He endured it. Why? Because of the glory that lies ahead. When you take up your cross, it's not a fatal taking of a cross. You take it because you know that there is a glory ahead. And that glory, my friends, is not in London. It's not in Singapore. It's not in the most beautiful cities you can think about going on holiday on earth. And I have since learned holidays are not holidays anyway. Because you work so very hard for a week to park. And then you go on the holiday, you're struggling to follow up the children. You're working very hard chasing each child so that they don't get missing. And then you work very hard to come back. And then you work another very hard to settle in. The glory Jesus is talking about is beyond human imagination. John in Revelation had a glimpse of it and he describes it. One of the ones I like is he says, the streets are made of gold. The very things we value on earth, the very things we spend so much money to purchase, my foot is going to step on it on in heaven. Streets of gold. And heaven is not built by the best architects of human design. It's built by Jesus himself. What a place to go. What a place to aspire. Not by our effort, Jesus says, but by his grace alone. And this is a decision we must make. It's beyond coming to church. It's about following Jesus. It's not about being a pastor or bishop. It's about following Jesus Christ. It's a decision we make. Choose who to follow. But we now know from Jesus' own experience that when you choose to follow Jesus in this way, you will suffer. And my friends, from my short span of life, I have learned that suffering comes anyway, whichever way. Because I have not always been a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. And my father and mother were committed Christians. They loved the Lord Jesus. They made a decision to follow him. But I rebelled. And I didn't like their Jesus. I didn't like their faith. Their faith always challenged me. Their faith exposed my shortcomings, my sins, my weaknesses. as a youngster. So I rebelled and left home. In the streets of Lagos, someone witnessed to me and I accepted Jesus on my own. I accepted Jesus. And when I did, I also realized that even when I did not accept Jesus, there was also suffering in the world. But now that I have accepted Jesus, my suffering makes sense, because I'm not suffering for being a thief, for being a meddler, for being a gossip, for being a slanderer, for telling a lie. I am suffering simply because people don't like Jesus and they don't like the Jesus that I am carrying. It now has a meaning, because Jesus also helps me to carry that burden. In Jesus Christ, suffering makes a meaning. The brothers and sisters in Syria who are being killed, their churches destroyed, they're rejoicing. The story of Abdel, who came out in Kobani, the ISIS army said that if you repent, if you turn to Islam, we will not kill you. And Abdel came out and he said, I will not, I belong to Jesus. And he was shot dead. Dying for Christ makes meaning. If he didn't even accept Christ, he would still be shot anyway. But it makes more meaning, the most meaning, when you're following Jesus and you suffer. That might even lead to death. You suffer rejection too. Jesus warned. You suffer rejection because you live out the faith. You wouldn't steal, you wouldn't cheat. In a corrupt world, you will be tagged with all kinds of names. You'll be persecuted, as it is coming very fast in Europe right now. It is no longer tolerable to be a Christian and to live out your faith in public. Man, you will suffer. But brace up for it, friends. Don't let your suffering be for nothing. And we might even die like Jesus. But it's worth it. It's worth it. If we die for Jesus, it makes more sense. And I've often said, I will not commit suicide. But if I died now, I'll be grateful. Because then you'll have to pay my debts and all the bank credits that I owe. And you have to settle it, but I'm gone. I'm going to be with Jesus. And my, I look forward to going to be with Jesus. Because I have many questions for Jesus. I do, my friends. Satan cannot answer them. So if I go to hell, I will find no answers. So I will endure the suffering, the rejection, and die. When I get to heaven, I say, yes, Lord, now we've got to talk. And we will talk. I look forward to it, my friends. I look forward to being with Jesus, not only in this life, but forever. Because even if I'm shot dead now, I will be with my Master, whom I've always believed and worshipped and loved with my whole heart. If you don't kill me, I will serve him and preach his gospel and take his love to the whole world. Either way, I lose nothing. Let us pray. Give us grace, dear God, that the truth of your word may come to us life, and that the decision we make intentionally might be for Jesus, to follow him, to take up our cross in this life, and in the life to come live with him forever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bishop Ben, thank you. Thank you very much for your ministry. And again, Archbishop will be speaking in New Horizon during the week, and you can be part of that ministry and worship there. Shall we join together to pray? Lord, thank you that you have never kept your purposes secret. You have never hidden your love for us. And yet forgive us, Lord, that we can often be slow to reach out with that love. We can often be slow to speak of your greatness. And so we ask for that holy boldness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the world around us, a world that in so many different ways seems to be tearing itself apart. And we pray that in the midst of a dark and difficult world, your people may be light and salt, just as you have called us to be. Forgive us, Lord, that we often look at difficult circumstances around us and wish we were somewhere else. Lord, help us to be content to serve you where you have placed us. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters who don't enjoy the freedom of worship that we do, who could only dream of gathering in the numbers that will be at New Horizon this week. Lord, for our brothers and sisters around the world, persecuted because of their love for Jesus, we pray that in your mercy you would draw them close to yourself and give to them all that they need to be salt and light. Lord, for those across our world who are forced from their homes, from their countries because of what's going on there, and who make perilous journeys across land and sea, and who end up on our borders, Lord, with nothing. Lord, give to those who govern us wisdom and compassion, that we may find ways of helping, ways of showing the love of Jesus. Lord, this morning we in our congregation pray for the Taggart family. We ask that in you they may find the peace and comfort this world cannot give, and that they may be reminded of that unshakable hope which is ours in Jesus, who died and rose again. For those, Lord, who are ill or who just going through difficult times, may they know your presence close to them. Father, in the silence, we lift to you our own prayers for people and situations known to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the living God, the one who is at work. And so we pray, show your power, O God, in the lives of those whom we've remembered before you, in situations which we class as helpless and hopeless. Lord, show your power, we pray. We pray for New Horizon this week. We pray, Lord, that it would be a good week in every way, that many would come to know the love of Jesus for them, and that many would be encouraged in that love. And to you be all honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand together as we sing once more, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.